started the Torah Way, Northwest London, in conjunction with Haderech and Beis HaMedrash Knesset Yecheskel. Friday, 4th of 7, 3rd of June, 48th day of the Omer, Rabbi Jeremy Goldke Shlita, the Jubilee and Shavuos.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Shuster Rav, Rabboni. I'd like to thank Josh and Dudi. What a chosh of a warm-up act you provided for me. Very much appreciated. Thank you. We now find ourselves in the middle of a full-day jubilee celebration marking 70 years of the Queen's reign. And we also find ourselves, of course, with Erev Shabbos, which is Erev Shavuos. So I thought it's a good opportunity to discuss an interesting halachic discussion regarding the Queen. If you were to see her, do you make a bracha? Imagine the following scenario. The maroon royal Bentley drives down Golders Green Road and parks outside Grudzinski. And a fellow at the front seat gets out, wearing his chauffeur's hat and his smart suit. And he gets out, and you're standing outside of Grudzinski. And he says to you, what do you recommend? And you list off your favorites. And he goes into Grudzinski, and you're standing there, and you think to yourself, I'll try my luck. And you knock on the back window, and the window rolls down, and you have an engaging conversation with Her Majesty. Now, we'll come back to that scenario in a second. But the question is, do you make a bracha? What if she didn't wind down the window? What if she's behind the car and you don't actually see her, but you know she's there? 10 years ago, the Diamond Jubilee, there was a boat that went down the River Thames, and one of my boys in school told me that they went to it. I remember they were younger, and they stood, and they couldn't see anything. She was quite far away, but she knew they knew she was there. Would you make a bracha in that situation? So let's discuss. It's a Gemara in Brachas Daf Nunches. That's the source of all of this. And then we'll come on to Shavuos. We'll try and connect it. The Gemara in Brachas Nunches on Medalef says this. Omer Rabbi Yechon, La'ilam yishtad lo'odim lo'aretz likos Malchi Yisrael. A person should run, should do whatever he can to run to meet the Malchi Yisrael. V'lo'i likos Malchi Yisrael b'vav. Not only Jewish kings, and afilu likos Malchi umas ha'ilam. Even non-Jewish kings. She'im yizke, that if a person merits, yavchin bein malchi Yisrael l'malchi umus ha'ilam, he'll distinguish between Jewish and non-Jewish kings. What does that mean? So the Mefarshim explain, you'll see whatever honor is being given to the Melech, how much greater the kavod that will be given to Melech Moshiach. We'll be able to distinguish that. Others say, the Maharal Diskin says, is actually to educate us, to learn how to properly honor a Jewish king. Okay, now the Shulchan Aruch brings this mitzvah lehishtadal lirois melachim v'afilu malchim musa'ilam. There is a mitzvah to go and greet even non-Jewish kings. And there are, of course, precedents in Tanakh, in Chumash, there are many, many precedents. One is, of course, when Yosef HaTzadik comes out of the bur, Rashi says, the Pasuk says he shaved, he got himself ready to meet the king. Says Rashi, m'pnei kovet hamalchus. He prepared himself. Says the Chasam Sofer on the Pasuk, because the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, Yotze Yosef Beis Asurim, and he came out on Rosh Hashanah. The Rosh Hashanah Yotze Yosef Beis Asurim, he came out on Rosh Hashanah. And Yosef Kiem es kol ha-Torah ad shelo nitna, he kept all of Torah, so how could he shave? Says the Chasam Sofer, that's what Rashi means. It must be because of Kovod Malchus. It's Machlokes Shachem Taz, and it's according to the Shitta of the Shach. Moreover, when Yaakov Avinu came down to Mitzrayim to meet Yosef, Yosef took him to meet the king. Vayivorech Yaakov his power, he gave him a bracha. Says the Chem Das Yomim on the Pasuk, why did he bench this Rasha? Paro was a Rasha. Why did he get a bracha from Yaakov Avinu? Says the Chem Das Yomim, they covered Malchus. Because of covered Malchus, you've got to honor the king. And here comes the key point. The Omrei Malchus de Latato mein Malchus de Le'ela. Because whatever covered you get from Malchus down in this world, it gives you a smell of what real Malchus is. What real Malchus is. I heard that two times now, two different Rosh Hashivas, they came to these shores, and they weren't interested in touring, but the one thing they wanted to do is to go to stand outside Buckingham Palace. And they asked their Talmud to drive them there. They stood outside. They waited there. They thought. They watched. They saw. And then they got back in the car and they went home. They didn't want to go on to Madame Tussauds or to other places. That's all they wanted to see. Why? Because of this Chazal. Malchus de la Tatamein, Malchus de la El. They wanted to get a smell of what real Malchus is. So this is as close as you can get. The Havda. Now, the Gemara goes on and says, there's a bracha. Haroya Malchus Yisrael, Eme Baruch Shecholak Mikvoid El Yireyav. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you make a bracha, Shecholak, he gave of his own cover to Yireyav. That's for a Jewish king. For a non-Jewish king, and that is how it's paskened in Shulchan Aruch. Interestingly, Rav Vosna says, you may be wondering, we've been talking about kings, that's the Gemara in Brachos. What about a queen? Says Rav Vosna in Shuvas, in Shevet HaLevi, No difference between a king and a queen. Now, the big question is, what exactly constitutes a king? So the Rambam says, interestingly, when he brings this Gemara, he adds a word. He adds the words gevura, which suggests that you only make the bracha if the king has power. And indeed, the Radvaz brought over here says that also you require the power to sentence people to death. If the king does not have that power, then it seems the Rambam would say you don't make a bracha. But the Vosna and Reb Sternbuch and others, they say there's a difference. Let's take a look. There's an interesting tshuva of the Shevet HaLevi of Vosna. Take a look in the paragraph 5 at the end. V'chein poshut be'enai, says Reb Vosna, da'afilu ein biyod laharig mamish, even if the queen does not have the ability to kill, b'li hisyatus in Rosh HaShilton, without consultation with her ministers, mikol makom heyes hi ayhu, imam, since they ultimately are the ones who receive the honor, they receive tremendous kovod, one still makes the bracha, even though they haven't got the power to sentence people to death. Etc. What? Why? Because, and he quotes the Magen Avraham, because the ein meduba ele me'elu shenisnamnu al yedei ha-melech. When the Rambam says that they need the power of life and death, that's only appointees of the king. If the king appoints a minister, a prime minister, or someone, that person needs to have the power of life and death. But the king or queen, him or herself, they are the source of the honor, and therefore they don't need actual power. For the other person, a lack of that power is a demonstration of the lack of their gedula. But not the king or queen herself. What about a wicked king? So says the Kaf HaChaim, even a Rasha, even a Melech who is a Rasha, you still make the Bracha. There is an interesting exception. In the late 1800s, beginning of the end of the 19th century, there was a famous case where the German Kaiser came to Yerushalayim, and Rabbi Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld had to address this question. And famously, when he refused to make a bracha, and he said, because the Germans are Mizera Amolek, on the contrary, there's an obligation of Mochei Timche. But Chutz Mizera, that was a German chancellor at the end of the 1800s, interesting. But Chutz Mizera, where even if the king was a Rasha, then apart from the fact of Amolek, then one would still make a bracha. Now the Shaila is, what about a president? A president of the United States of America, or prime minister, does one make a bracha over there? So there's an interesting tshuva of Rav Moshe Sternbuch. When he left these shores, he went off to South Africa. And he was the Av Basin in South Africa. Now, of course, is the Av Basin in Yerushalayim. But when he was in South Africa, he was asked, do you make a bracha on the South African president? Take a look at the bottom box, paragraph 7. She'ela, anosi hamadina al droim Africa. So he says, interesting. I remember when I was in Eretz Yisrael, America, the president of America came to Eretz Yisrael, and the poskim debated whether or not we make the bracha. Ludaiti, and in my opinion, the president is subject to the whims of the electorate. So they may not re-elect him. He's there for 4 years, maybe 8 years, and then that's it. And furthermore, his powers are very limited. His powers are very fettered. And it's not comparable to the English royalty, says Reb Sternbuch. Even in the 21st century. Did you know that? That actually, although it's sort of a theoretical power, she actually has to sign and give consent to all legislation. She opens parliament. My parliament will do this, my parliament will do that. She signs off legislation. Furthermore, she has an advantage over American presidents and prime ministers in as much as her position is hereditary. It will go to her children. Not so with presidents. And therefore, her covet is real. And even though in practice she does not get involved in political and government affairs, nonetheless she has to sign off, give royal consent. And the thing doesn't diminish. And therefore, Reb Sternbuch is of the opinion that whilst you do not make brachas for presidents, you would certainly for English royalty and any other form of real royalty. Other poskim argue and say that one does make a bracha on a president, and the reasons they give is because maybe they don't have the power of life and death, they can't just say off with your head, but they have the power to declare war. They also have the power to pardon capital punishments, which is akin to giving the power of life and death. And therefore, lechora, that would be the same for presidents across the world. Now, back to our royal motorcade and our situation outside Gujinsky. The Gemara says in Brachas a very interesting story. Rav Sheshes Saginar, the top of box number 8, the top of the third sheet. Rav Sheshes Saginar, however, Rav Sheshes was blind. One time, the king went past, and everyone ran out to see the king. And Rav Sheshes himself went. This is the Gemara, which says, Mitzvah Lishtadl. And Rav Sheshes himself went. And this certain min saw Rav Sheshes and said to him in a very disrespectful way, very hurtful way, you can't see anything. So why are you going? What are you going to see? What's the point? So Rav Sheshes said back to this min, Say chozi diyodana tfei minoch. I know more than you. I may not be able to physically see, but I'll perceive the situation better than you. Cholav gunda kamaisa. So they were standing, waiting in the procession, and the first sort of wave of the royal procession went past. Ki ka'avsha, when it became very noisy, omele ahumina, the min said to Rav Sheshes, Osa malka, oh, here comes the king. Omele Rav Sheshes, no, lo ka'osi. Not yet, he's not coming. Cholav gunda ktinyona. The second wave of procession went past. Again, the min said, when it became noisy, Hashtaka Osi Malka, must be the king is coming now. Omele Rav Sheshes, Rav Sheshes said, Loik Osi Malka. No, you're wrong. Cholaf Tlisoi, a third wave went past, and then it became quiet. Kikoshoskos, when it went quiet, Omele Rav Sheshes, Vade Hashtaka Osi Malka. Oh, here comes the king. Omele Ahu Minna Minolacho. How do you know? So says the Gemara, Amalei Rav Sheshes says, the Malchusa da'ara kein Malchusa da'rakia. There is some sort of symmetry. The Malchusa da'ara, the Malchus here in this world, the physical royalty, is some sort of parallel, some sort of mirror of Malchus in Shemayim. La'avdil. Tichziv, and it says about Malchus in Shemayim, Tzev amadata bahar lifnei Hashem, stand in front of the mountain in front of Hashem, v'nei Hashem oive v'ruach g'dayla v'chozok, and a great wind will pass, Mefarik Harim, breaking down mountains, Meshabes Loim, destroying stones, Lifnei Hashem, Loi Beruach Hashem, but Hashem is not in the Ruach, V'acha HaRuach Rash, and there will be a tremendous noise, Lo Berash Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not in the Rash, V'acha Rash Eish, and then after that there's fire, Loi Be'esh Hashem, is not in the fire, V'acha HaEish Kol Demama Daka, and after that there's a very still, quiet sound, and that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then when the king went past, Rav Sheshes, who was blind, made the bracha, etc. Okay. And then the Gemara says there's a sad ending, he gets his comeuppance, this min, for being so disrespectful. The Chida in Birkei Yosef says, that you see from this Gemara that a blind person and anyone seeing a royal entourage passing therefore makes a bracha, even if the king is enclosed behind some sort of vessel and is not visible. But the Ksav Sofer, quoted by the Chasam Sofer, argues. And he says there's a big difference. Because Rav Sheshes, he was blind, he couldn't actually see the king pass, but the king was physically in front of him. But if it's behind some sort of kli, they're not. So, back to our Gujinsky scenario, if the queen was outside there in the Royal Bentley, and you knew it was her, and she did not wind down the window, then l'chur, that would be subject to this machlekes. The Chidah would say, it's no different to Rav Sheshes not being able to see it. She's there in front of you, you make the bracha. But the Ksav Sofer says not, she's behind the chatzitza, and therefore you would not make the bracha. But if she was there, not behind a mechitza of some sort, then you would make a bracha. What is the story with presidents? So then, that is debated in the poskim, like we say, do they have proper power or not? Some say no, Moshe Sternbach says not, and they haven't got, they're subject to the whim of the electorate, it's not hereditary. But others argue you would make a bracha on a president, perhaps even a prime minister, because they may not have the ability to sentence people to death, but they have the ability to pardon people to death or to declare war, which is tantamount to that. Now, let's continue our marshal. She's sitting outside Gujinsky, you have a conversation, you say to her, listen, Your Majesty, I'm going to go home and tell my kids about this. They're not going to believe me. I would like a memento. Could you please give me something to remind me of this occasion? And she takes out her royal handkerchief, and she gives it to you. Now, let's come back to the Moshel in a moment. Famous question is asked, what is the difference between Shavuos and Simchas Torah? It seems that we have two Yomim Tovim, both of them celebrate Torah. The theme of Shavuos is, of course, Torah, we receive the Torah, and Simchas Torah also celebrating Torah. What exactly is the difference between them? So, superficially, you could say that the difference is this. On Shavuos, we received the Torah, and Simchas Torah, we completed it. Okay? I once heard a different answer in the name of Rav Simcha Zissel Broida, the Rosh Shiva in Hebron, and he says a very beautiful answer. He says that any present is, there are different types of presents. Imagine you would go home today, the Rambam Shulchan Aruch says that a person should buy, for Simchas Yontov, you should buy your family gifts for Yontov to make sure that you generate Simcha. Listen carefully. And so what do you buy? So for the Noshim, you buy jewelry, you buy clothes, begadim. For kids, you buy Nash. Kloyes ve'egoizim, nowadays, I guess, we'll have to upgrade our Nash. But you go, you buy your wife, let's say, oh, it's a special anniversary, you buy her some jewelry. When you give that jewelry has material value. Whatever you spent, it has material value. Its very essence has value. In contrast, the handkerchief you got from Her Majesty outside Gujinsky, it may be very special to you. Maybe you even put it in your silver cabinet and frame it. But how much is it actually worth? It's a handkerchief. Not very much. There are two types of presents. One is something which has intrinsic value, and one, it represents some sort of occasion, some sort of connection. That, says Rav Simcha Zissel Broida, is the difference between Shavuos and Simchas Torah. Shavuos, we celebrate the very gift of Torah, the infinite, inestimable value of Torah. On Simchas Torah, we are commemorating the relationship we have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that we're recognizing who the Noisein HaTorah is. That's the difference. And that's why there are many Mamori Chazal which fit into this this split. For example, the famous Rashi in Parshas Emor, when in the Gemara, the Pasuk says in Parshas Emor, it talks about after Sukkot, you have the Shmini Atzeres, the day, the Atzeres, interestingly that it's called. And Rashi says in the Pasuk, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Doime LeMelech, and it says, Zimmein es bonov l'suda, Melech invites his children to a suda for a certain amount of days. Kivin shigia zman nipote, Oma bonai b'akoshim ikem, I beg of you, ikvu imi yoy mechot. Stay another day. Kosho olai pridascha. We're talking about the relationship. Simchas Torah is talking about the relationship we have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Masha'en kein shvuos, we're celebrating the pure value of Torah. What does that mean? If you turn to the back page, actually what he means. The Gemara in Pesachim says, amazing Gemara. The Gemara says, Pesachim samachesim at base. Rabbi Yosef, b'yayim da'atzar ta'oma. On the day of Shavuos, the great Hamayor Rabbi Yosef would say, Avdi li egle tilsa, make for me some fine meat, because I want to celebrate. Because ilay hayayim at the kagarim, we're not for this day, kama Yosef ikka b'shukah. There'd be many Joes in the street, many Yosefs in the shuk. That's what he says. Asks Rav Ruderman, really? Rav Yosef would be a regular Amira, would be a regular person, were it not for the day of Matan Torah? He's the great Amira Rav Yosef. Clearly he was a very intelligent person, so maybe he wouldn't have been an Amira because of if there were no Matan Torah, but he'd be a Professor Yosef, a Dr. Joseph, a CEO. What does he mean? So Rav Ruderman says an amazing pshat. You know what it means? Were it not for Torah, I would be a very disparate individual. I would be fragmented. I would be different in all different situations. When I'm at home, I'm like this. When I'm at work, I'm like that. In the when I'm walking, I'm like this. When I'm with my friends, I'm behaved like that. I'm a very disparate, inconsistent person. But now I have Torah, that gives me a unified objective in my life. That creates a consistency in my behavior. That's what it means, Kama Yosef Ika Bashuka. It means me, but there'd be lots of me because I'd be inconsistent and disparate and fragmented. And that's what Matan Torah does. The famous Kasha of the Mogen Avraham. The Mogen Avraham asks the famous question. We're celebrating the wrong day. We know that we came out of Mitzrayim on a Thursday. So that means the first day of Sfiras Soma, the next day Mimocharis, was on a Friday. That means day one was a Friday. Day eight was a Friday. Day 15, 22, 29, 36, 43, day 50 was a Friday. But we know Matan Torah was on a Shabbos. That's day 51. Says the Mogen Avraham, we're celebrating the wrong day. Famous question. Lots of answers. But one answer I heard, Rabbi Bernstein, Zichron Livracha, used to say was this. Rabbi Isaac Bernstein, he would say this. You know what we're celebrating? We're celebrating the contrast of a day with Torah and a day without Torah. Imagine a day without Torah. How empty and meaningless our lives will be. And now we have Torah, it gives us meaning and purpose, that every small act has meaning. The Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, a beloved Sefer of Klal Yisrael, when it was translated, it's been translated and published countless times, it was translated into the vernacular in the 1800s, and one non-Jewish member of the Austrian-Hungarian parliament got hold of a copy. And to make fun of the Yidden, he stood up in parliament and he held it up and said, look how ridiculous these Jews are. He said, look at this. He opened up and he said, they've got to put their right shoe first and then their left shoe and then their left lace. And he's making fun. Another member of the parliament stood up and said how fortunate the Jews are that even trivial mundane activities such as getting dressed in the morning has meaning. That you put this on, you put this on, there's meaning, there's depth to everything. Ashreinu matoiv chalkeinu. And that is borne out in the Megillah Sirus that we learn on Shavuos as well. Once saw an amazing pshat. The first perek, remember the scene? Naomi is destitute. Her husband has died, his two sons have died, and she's left with her two daughters-in-law. And Rus and Nupra, they want to go back with her. And she's dissuading. She goes, you go back to your Moabite roots. There's nothing for you here. And Orpah indeed goes back. But Rus cleaves, and the Pasuk says in the bottom box, Vatomer Rus el tifki bi la'ozvech la'shuv me'acharayach. Don't push me away. Ki asher telchi eilech, wherever you go, I will go. V'asher toluni olin, wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Amech ami ve'lekaich ve'lekaich. Very beautiful Pesukim. When I was a kid, my father, Zichron Livracha, made me and my siblings learn these Pesukim off by heart. Beautiful Pesukim. The Gemara, the Rashi brings the Gemara in Yevamos, which says that the underpinning of all of this is really a conversation about Geirus. And many halachas of Geirus are learned from here. So Rashi says, Mikan Omer Rabbeinu Ger Shebol Hiskaya Modim Lo Mikzas Einshim. When a Ger comes to want to convert, you got to tell him as it is. You can't just tell him it's all about chicken soup and knedlach. It's you got to say it as it is. Shem Bolachzer Boyachzer. You can understand from the response of Rus what Naomi was saying. For example, Naomi said to Ruth, you can't go outside of the Tchum on Shabbos. Amalei, you can't go 2,000 amas past the last house in the city. So Amrullah, so Ruth said back to her, Basher telchi eilech, no problem, wherever you go, I can go. Okay. Asalonus yisyach in the cave im zacha. There's an issue of yichud. You can't seclude yourself with a man who's not your husband. Says Rus, Amrullah, Basher tolini olin. Okay, wherever you lodge, I will lodge. We've got 630 mitzvahs. Our lives are very different. Amechami asks Rav Moshe Bamberg in the Sefer Shiras Halevi, beautiful kasha. If you think if that indeed is what's going on in this conversation, that Rus is said, but the Naomi is saying to Rus that there's a thing of tchum, there's a thing of yichud, then Rus's response seems wrong. If she's saying to Rus that there's a thing of tchum, you can't go beyond the 2,000 amos of the city, so Rus should have said, okay, wherever you can't go, I won't go. Wherever you can't be misyachid, I won't be misyachid. Why does she phrase it, Basher telchi eilech, Basher tolini olin, in the positive? Listen to this. So Rav Moshe Bamberg says, you know why? Because Rus understands the beauty of Yiddishkeit. Maybe I can't do this and I can't do that, but there's so much that I can do. Basher telchi, there's Shabbos. Okay, I can't go 2,000 amas beyond the city, but there's Shabbos. Basher telchi eilech, there's lots of places I can do and I can keep Shabbos. Okay, there's certain family situations I can't, yichud, I can't do this, I can't do that, but I can live a Jewish life. I can live the beauty of a Jewish marriage. Basher tolini olin. She reframes it in a positive sense because she appreciated Ashreinu matov chalkeinu. What an amazing idea. That really is the difference between Shavuos and Simchas Torah. The difference is, on Simchas Torah, we recognize the nois in HaTorah, how privileged we are to have a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shavuos, we appreciate the value of Torah itself. So, to summarize, you go home now, you walk past, you do some shopping on the way home, and you go past Wojcinski, and sure enough, the Royal Bentley is there. You now know that if she winds down the window, you make a bracha. If she keeps the window up, and you're certain that she's there, that is a machlekes techida in the Ksav Sefer, behind some sort of machitza. Presidents is debated amongst the poskim whether or not they have a power of life and death or not. How are their powers fettered or not? And really, the idea is the preparation for Shavuos. The preparation that all of this of the malchus is to give us a smell of malchus de la'el, of real malchus, the malchus in Shemayim. And that's what the Yontif of Shavuos is about, to appreciate the beauty of Yiddishkeit, of Ashreinu Matov Chalkeinu, that we to focus on the inestimable gift that Torah is, and Simchas Torah is the relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Good Yontif. Thank you.